To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard.
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. Good morning, geeks. What a glorious Saturday in Sydney.
Oh, beautiful. If only there weren't any, like, you know, red balloons just lying about the streets, terrifying the general public.
Oh, but what a great marketing campaign for what we're talking about first. Stephen King's It has got a fresh adaptation, and it was a movie that was kind of flying under the radar in production. And it kind of got a little bit of notoriety when one, Cary Fukunaga. Now, if you don't know that name just like off the top of your head, this guy is the amazing sort of creative force behind the first series of True Detective, did the awesome remake with Fassbender and Mia Wasikowska of Jane Eyre. Just a rad director, and the awesome Beasts of No Nation that's on Netflix. And so he was doing this flick and people were getting excited because, you know, everyone loves the 90s version with Tim Curry. But they have... They've taken King's adaption. They've kind of played a little bit around with the source material. So if you're familiar with the book is happening across two timelines, 27 years apart. And it's a story about a kids and their adult selves remembering and fighting off a monster that feeds on fear, that takes the form of something called Pennywise the Clown. And so not only does it manifest itself in your deepest, darkest, freakiest fears, but also when it's just bombing around as itself, it's the scariest looking clown one could ever hope to imagine.
Terrifying. I mean, like, even if you haven't watched the original with Tim Curry, you can still see his face in the Pennywise makeup, and it is terrifying. So yes. Bill Skarsgård, who people might know from Vikings, he's playing Pennywise this time around.
Yeah, it's this one, they've broken the adaption very much down into, this is just the kids' story. So I think it's safe to say right now that I can tell you that there is a chapter two. There is a chapter two potentially coming along for this, which is the adult story, but this is the kids. And Andy Muschietti is the director. He directed Mama. So I don't know if you've seen Mama, Soph. Have you seen Mama with Jessica Chastain?
No, is that the horror one?
Yes, a horror movie with Jessica Chastain and I always want to say Jamie Lannister because I forget the guy's name, but it's like Jessica Chastain, Jamie Lannister, really creepy horror movie, very, very, very well done. And he's taken over the directing reins. It's the kids, and basically it's this kids in their town of Derry. The setting is the 1980s in this small town, and it just so happens that the movie begins with a little boy. His name's Georgie, and his brother Bill, played by Jaden Lieberher, he paints him up a little wax paper boat, and he goes out in the rain in his yellow raincoat, and his boat floats down a drain. And hanging around downside in that drain is one Pennywise the Clown. And this movie basically is from that moment on, is just a relentless experience. There are seven amazing kid characters in this movie, played by a stack of really awesome actors. You'd probably recognize Finn Wolfhard, who's one of the kids from Stranger Things, but that's about the length of the comparison. Seven kids who have seven varying experiences with this being that sort of haunts their hometown and appears to them in a series of visions, and then it, much like Freddy Krueger in a way, if you're familiar with Freddy, sort of feeds off of people's fear to be able to draw power and attempt to consume them. So it becomes this amazing thrill ride where, like, seven kids times seven visions times all these scares. It's like, pound for pound, a really relentless experience. I had an absolute goddamn blast with this movie. It is scary. I had a great time. I think it's fantastic for one thing, which is a lot of these nostalgia flicks, like, you know, Stranger Things, I think some of them go wrong because it's just, they just want to be aesthetically like 80s movies. But I think what great 80s movies do is they put kids in real terrifying peril and also put them around like this class of kind of uncaring adults. These adults that kind of let them run free and get up to mischief or get themselves into danger. And I think it is so, what's so fantastic about it is that these kids are experiencing these visions, and a lot of the time the uncaring adult population around them don't seem to be able to see or interact with what's happening to these kids. And it's just incredible. I had such a great time. It scared the bejesus out of me. I audibly swore at least 5 times.
Really?
Yes. So I just had a blast. I think it's an excellent adaptation of the source material. It looks beautiful. Stephen King, you know, is a hard man to adapt, right? There's
I was going to say, like, so many of his films and so many horror flicks in general from that time coming into the modern world, it's just, they're never as good, or they're just not scary, or people just find them lame. But I'm glad that he seems pretty happy with this one.
Yeah, he's really happy. But that's not a general rule, because he was happier with a TV version of The Shining, and the TV version of The Shining is the worst movie ever made. the movie of The Shining is like one of the greatest horror movies of all time. So, look, it looks beautiful as well. The cinematography, his name is Chung Hoon Chung, and he is Park Chan-wook, the great South Korean director's like boy. He works on all these films, Old Boy, Stoker, Handmaiden. Amazing. So it looks fantastic. It's well directed. The kid characters are phenomenal, and it will scare the bejesus out of you. I had a good time. The jump scares do get you do see sort of behind the curtain a little bit, because I had such a blast. That's a minor gripe. This is a wickedly great horror movie.
So how many red balloons did you give it?
I'd give it 4 red balloons at least. Maybe 4.5 on a good day, but I'd say at least 4 red balloons. You know, this year's been extremely strong for horror. And I think of, like, if I was my favorite horror movie of the entire year, it would have to be Get Out.
Brilliant.
Which is just, you know, all kinds of fantastic. There's another amazing French movie called Raw, which is right up there. But this was just stellar. I had a great time.
So from horror, we are now moving into the galaxy, because...
I would say horror. From horror to the horrible ride for people who are directing Star Wars.
What is going on? Star Wars has lost another director.
Yeah, look, Colin Trevorrow, who made a breakout fantastic movie a couple of years ago called Safety Not Guaranteed, was teed up to direct Star Wars Episode 9. And he also directed Jurassic World, which is insanely successful, but critically kind of panned. He recently made a movie called Book of Henry, which I haven't seen yet, but I've read about 20 amazing eviscerations of it in reviews. If you want to check it out, have some fun film review reading, this is a great movie to seek out to read some reviews. Look, they've parted ways, and I think it's, there's some wonderful articles that are coming out today with anonymous Star Wars insiders dropping some science about, Colin Trevorrow having a big ego, and that people just going against Kathy Kennedy, who's the head of Lucasfilm, and Kathy Kennedy just going, see ya. You know, just like, if you come in here with too independent a vision and don't want to play the way we want to play, then you're out. And so, the only directors that seemingly have come in and had an amazing experience are J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, who's directing the next installment, who is effusively praising Kathy Kennedy, loves Lucasfilm, said it's been his most rewarding filmmaking experience of his life, and he's enjoyed every minute of it. So I don't know, Soph. Like, maybe they're just not seeing eye to eye. I just don't get it. But, you know, Star Wars is a brand that's so precious. They're like, we're not going to risk it on the ego of anyone. The brand's bigger than you. And I'm sorry, Colin, but it's out. And so there was a mutually parting of ways, a very carefully worded message that came from Lucasfilm this week. And they're sharing some more information about that. But now what they're saying, the rumor is that Rian Johnson will just go back to back. So he'll direct Star Wars episode 8, The Last Jedi, and then go back-to-back for episode 9 and come on and maybe do some writing of that one as well.
It's so interesting, because, I mean, like, when they let George Lucas kind of go wild on the prequels, you know, we all saw that experience, and now they're like, we want to go more independent, but not too independent.
Yeah, look, I think, but with George, the thing is, George was the head of, like, imagine Kathy Kennedy is now the head of Lucasfilm. George Lucas was the head of Lucasfilm and directing the movie. Like, he was like, he was like the dictator of the entire universe. No one had any say, but Kathy Kennedy's in charge of Lucasfilm and she's hiring all these directors. So, you know, I love that the doors opened up. I mean, I can't wait to see The Last Jedi, but some amazing pieces of prospective casting have gone up. People are like, give Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman, the next Star Wars movie. Give Ava DuVernay, who is the incredible director of Selma, and who's got a movie working at Disney right now and is friends with J.J. Abrams. Give her a Guernsey at it. You know, that's an African-American female director. Like, give her a Guernsey at it. So Brad Bird, I think they really want as well, who's, you know, the director of The Incredibles and Ratatouille and The Iron Giant. You know, there's a lot of people on that list that have had their names thrown out that personally give me more confidence than Colin Trevorrow simply because the track record is there. So, you know, I think it's awesome. My dream is that they, you know, they go crazy and give it to someone like Ava DuVernay or, you know, an amazing female director and see what, you know, the head of Star Wars, Lucasfilm, being Kathy Kennedy, and a female director can do in the universe. I think it sounds awesome.
Absolutely. But the thing I'm quite disappointed is they didn't choose Taika Waititi, who had probably the best response on Twitter when people were like, will it be you?
He goes, I like to finish my movies.
Yes, lol. Just burn. And then he also say, I'd be fired within a week. As the guy who pretty much improv the entire Thor Ragnarok, I can see why probably Star Wars would have an issue with him.
Look, Marvel are taking a risk with Taika, but I think he's a director that, you know, you only have to see a Taika movie and realize how good it is to go, look, they know what they've got. Apart from, you know, he may have an ego or may want to improv or may give a line reading, but, you know, you only have to watch Boy. You only have to watch Hunt for the Wilder People. You only have to watch What We Do in Shadows. And you're just like, all of your faith is restored that this guy knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh, so true. But hey, let's see if there's any more woes for Star Wars between now and December. I'm sure there will be.
Let's hope not.
Well, Blake, thanks for gaggling out here on Gaggle of Geeks again on 2SER. We love you.
Oh, thanks. So see you, geeks. Have a lovely Saturday and get along to it and have the bejesus get out of here.
Bejesus.
Bejesus.
Bye.
Bye.